My guest this evening, director Timothy Douglas, has spent a lot of time with the plays of August Wilson, one of America's most admired playwrights. This month for the Cincinnati Playhouse, he's staging Jitney, the first script Wilson wrote for his American Century Cycle, 10 plays, one set in each decade of the 20th century. It's a show Timothy knows intimately. This is the fourth time he's directed it. In fact, he has a long history with August Wilson's work. Welcome back to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Let's start with your personal history with Wilson. You met him back in the mid-80s when you were a young actor and you understudied roles in a couple of his plays, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom and Joe Turner's Come and Gone, which came out in 84, and the Pulitzer Prize-winning Fences in 87. He wasn't quite so well known or admired then, but his writing, I think, made an impression on you even then.
Yes, I think it's known in the theater circles that it was Lloyd Richards who discovered August Wilson. At the time, Lloyd was both the artistic director of the O'Neill Playwrights Conference in Connecticut, as well as the dean and artistic director of Yale Rep and Yale School of Drama, where I had the good fortune of going as a student. When I arrived in my first year in 1983, that was the arrival of August Wilson to Yale Rep with Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and I was assigned as an understudy. And so I got to be in the room at the beginning. It was clear immediately what a great talent that August Wilson was, and what was immediately recognizable and transforming for us in the room is that August, as a black dramatist, caught with mathematical exactness the rhythm and organization of language that captured the black American experience, the rhythms, the specific stories. And one of the things that is common in response to seeing an August Wilson play, no matter who it is how universal it is. But it can only be universal based on how accurately specific it is to the subject at hand and the culture at hand, and he just nailed it bullseye.
You mentioned the language which he used, which was certainly language of the street, especially in this particular work, but he began his career as a poet.
Yes.
And so he was very specific and distinct about, in fact, he slaved over the writing and making sure he had exactly the right word for everything that he was doing.
Absolutely, and he's also very much influenced by the blues. Mm-hmm. Which absolutely affects the rhythm of his language. He was very unforgiving of actors who even got one word out of order or mispronounced.
So years later, it's 2001, and you're a director now, staging Wilson's second Pulitzer Prize winner, The Piano Lesson, for Actors Theater of Louisville.
Yes.
Wilson actually spent time watching rehearsals and performances, I presume, and then he handpicked you to stage the 2005 premiere of Radio Golf, his final script that came out just before his death at the age of 60. What was it like to work with him on a new show like that?
At the time I got the assignment of Radio Golf, there was no script. He hadn't written it yet. He knew what the story was. And at the time of my hiring, I was directing a production of Fences. And I'd get home from rehearsal, and he would call me at night, and he would tell me the story. It's like a bedtime story from August Wilson. He'd tell me the story of Radio Golf. Mm-hmm. And each night he would tell me what changes that he made. And so I had to cast this show without a script, design with the designers without a script. I didn't know if the room we were in needed more than one entrance or exit. There were a lot of unknowns, but we did it. I mean, my God, what a thrill ride, world premiere of the final play in the cycle. And he made many changes all the way through. So I didn't feel so much I was working directly with the man. I was working with the man through his work and as he was making changes. And after he passed away just a few months after the initial staging of Radio Golf. And as the years go by and we hear more stories, I didn't know at the time that he knew that he was ill. And I know that affected his dynamic with everyone. And so I can't really accurately say what it was like working with the man. It was me wrestling with that script. He was rewriting it as we were in rehearsal. So in essence, I was directing a serial whose ending I did not know through the process. It was quite a journey. I mean, that's the biggest example in my life thus far of that which does not kill us makes us stronger.
Well, let's go back to Jitney, which was written really early in his career as opposed to this one that you're talking about.
Well, initially it was one of his first plays and was written as a long one act. When he was in the midst of the cycle, when he was ready to tackle the 1970s, he chose to go back and redo Jitney. And one of the beautiful things about Jitney that I love so much is you can at once see the marriage of the young emerging playwright along with the seasoned playwright mixed all throughout.
And isn't it interesting because the play is full of characters of various generations, and he probably understood both because he was in his probably early 30s when he wrote that first version of it and had aged another, 10 or so years before he moved on to this later version that you're describing. So the story is set in Pittsburgh's Hill District where he grew up, the setting of many, many of the 10 plays that he wrote. It's about men working in an unlicensed car service. It's a hard living. It's full of hustling and arguing, and then life takes a really desperate turn when the city threatens to demolish the entire block in the name of urban renewal. It was the first play of his that I think got real serious notice. What was it that you think caught the theater world's attention when that play came forward?
I think in the dearth of compelling black contemporary voices in the theater, you know, there was such a void, and August, he so brilliantly pinpointed and liberated the authentic black voice of the American theater. It just shot right through that void, mm-hmm. and all of the ears just pricked right up.
So you've done it 3 times before. What is different about it, coming back to it after those previous productions?
Like all the revisits recently of his plays, it's as if on this side of an Obama presidency and the many different ways that Americans have absorbed that or decided what that means with regard to how we see black culture and black men specifically, it's as if this event has opened up secret chambers inside the plays of August Wilson that could not be heard or accessed before. And so there's a certain amount of what I call blacksplaining that is not necessary for those who are coming back to an August Wilson play or coming for the first time. There's enough in the air about the struggles of race and specifically black America that cannot be denied. And because of that, that's where we all enter this play. And directing it previously, I'd sort of have to layer in the impact of things like, certainly I'll speak for myself, the fear that I carry walking down urban streets. You know, it doesn't matter who I am, what I do at any time. If I say or look the wrong way, I could lose my life. I feel like that. That being in the air, and you start viewing these men out of the gate, the men of Jitney out of the gate, that's something we don't have to layer in as actors and as director. We can just go right to the meat of the play. So it's the same, but it's more direct. It's more raw. And I also want to add to your description of Jitney, there's also a lot of celebration of the spirit mm-hmm. and the vibrancy and the indomitable spirit of these men who collect in this Jitney station.
Let's look for a second just at one pair of characters that I think maybe gets at that, and it's Becker and Booster.
Yes.
It's father and son, a very difficult relationship based on an event in the past, a crime that Booster had committed. Is that part of what you're describing then in that elemental sort of way?
Absolutely, both that elemental sort of way, but also in the way of this scene played very differently the last time I did this play 10 years ago. It's not giving too much away to say that Booster, who is Becker's son, Becker runs the Jitney station, is released after 20 years in prison for a crime that was committed. It is the first conversation that father and son has had. For his reasons, Becker chose not to visit Booster in prison all that time. And if you come to see the play, you get to see this father and son with this very painful, difficult situation between them meet for the first time in 20 years. It plays on every level, the hurt, the pain, the betrayal. But also one of the things that is consistent in Wilson is the investigation, that's not a big enough word, of the relationship between father and son. The thing we hit in rehearsal the other day, one of the things that is spoken by Becker, my son, I had such high hopes for my son, and what did you do? But he keeps talking about what he wanted, what he tried to teach his son. And what was so amazing to me is there it was. His son was able to stand there and have this very difficult conversation with his father. Very clear about what he had done, very clear about how much it pains his father, and yet carries enough of the warrior spirit that he can stand in front of his father and allow his father to have his grief. to grieve in front of his son. And the day I realized, well, there he is. There's Becker's son. You actually did raise this kid the way you had planned, but there's this event that would tempt us to throw away Booster and count him invaluable. And yet, right there in the writing, no, there's no less value to him, not excusing the act, nor do either of the characters, and yet he is every measure of a man.
That's such a great example, and there are, of course, seven more characters in the play that we could cite even more examples from. What do you expect that this show is going to mean to audiences here in Cincinnati?
I'm in a very interesting place in my relationship with the Playhouse as one of its associate artists, because you're getting to know me through my work. I'm getting to know the community a bit, but I'm not here day in and day out. And I don't presume to know what the specific challenges and celebrations are on a day to day. What I do know for Cincinnati and also American mainstream audiences at large is that we are sorely underexposed to Black American work, where we're not singing and dancing. That these are compelling, real, universal, if you will, characters. And so I'm very aware that a certain amount of education goes along with presenting these plays as entertainment. That's not all it is. But, you know, we're not just merely coming to hear a good story. I feel part of my responsibility is to help the Playhouse play catch up with presenting authentic Black lives as part of the American fabric. And so as we catch up, well, I'm getting off the track. You have this beautiful story about these eight beautiful Black men and this beautiful Black woman played by Story Ayers. I'll mention her because she is the queen of our cast and she keeps us all in line. Then you'll recognize physically immediately the parallels to what's happening in Over the Rhine and other places as, I'll say it, gentrification is taking over and the growing pains that go along with that for all involved. And I hope that just on that aspect, witnessing this production of Jitney will help humanize that in both directions. One, more compassion for those who are being disenfranchised and a prayer for a deeper understanding of those who are moving in, an appreciation of the history that went before.
Well, if you out there would like to witness some of this, your opportunities are already going on at the Playhouse right now with previews happening this weekend. The official opening of the show is on Thursday. For more information about Jitney and the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, follow the link at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I've been talking with Timothy Douglas about his staging of August Wilson's Jitney. Thanks for coming by for this conversation.
My pleasure, Rick. Thank you.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.